weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
The upbeat, feel-good musical Hairspray, set in the 1960s, is playing at the Corn Exchange until the 20th of February. Claire Sweeney plays Velma von Tussle, and Tony Maudsley, who's the outrageous Edna Turnblatt, took time out from rehearsals to chat to Lee Chambers.
So I'm here with Tony and Claire from Hairspray. Tony, I'm very disappointed that you're not in costume.
Do you mean as Edna?
Yes.
You're just a little bit earlier. I think I might get arrested if I was walking around Cambridge in my high heels and dresses. So I kind of resist until 5 to 7.
How long does it take to put all that costume and makeup on?
Well, not as long as people think. I mean, I'm very lucky. I have a very clever makeup artist called Spanish, as she's affectionately known, who does all that for me, because I'd be utterly useless at it. I'd end up looking like an Aunt Sally. So Spanish comes to my room at about 7:10, and it takes about 15 minutes to put all the makeup on, yeah.
How have you found channeling your inner female?
Hard work. It's hard work being a woman, it really is. I mean, especially with those heels. I've got backache, I've got aches in the back of my knees, women really put themselves through it, don't they? And then aside from that, all the painting of the face and the lashes, and I don't find it pleasant at all. It's much easier being a man, just to get a shave every few days, you know what I mean?
It is hard work, Claire, isn't it, being a woman?
I love being a woman because, you know, you can, you know, if you're looking a bit rough, you just need a bit of war paint and your saucer, don't you? Whereas a man doesn't always have that luxury.
She keeps telling me off. She says I wouldn't ache so much if I did some stretches.
He needs to stretch.
Stretch out the back of my knees and my calves.
Yeah, especially when we're working on a rake, which is a sloped stage. So the stage is sloped. He's got the heels, so he's practically bending back double to support himself and the weight. And it's going to affect your muscles. Anyway, I'm not going to go on. You need to stretch. You need to strengthen your core.
So you're playing Velma, who's she's sort of a showbiz mum, isn't she?
Yeah, she's horrible. She's racist. She's fattest. She's just vile, and she's fabulous. I love her.
I was going to say, you have to find something that you like in her, don't you, to play her?
Well, the whole thing is a facade, really. She starts off so elegant, so glamorous, so judgmental, and really she's just rough. You know, she is really rough, and everything. At the end of the show, you know, all the facade just drops and you see the real hair, and it's great fun.
She's a very real character. I know lots of people like Velma. Lots and lots of them.
Well, you say about the racism there, because it does tackle serious issues. Everybody thinks of Hairspray as bubblegum and upbeat, but it does tackle those issues, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely come and have a really great night out. I mean, don't let us put you off. I mean, you'll go home tapping your feet and singing along to some brilliant songs, but there are some serious themes in it. There's the themes of racism, obviously, which are still current today. As Claire said, there's... What's the word? It's not fatism, is it? But just the pressure on women,
prejudice, yeah. Colour prejudice, class, everything. And it touches on all those subjects in this show. And, you know, the fundamental message in the show is about just embracing your own individuality.
Yeah, celebrate difference. Difference is good. Mm. Otherwise, it'd be a very boring world that we lived in. Yeah, I think the show's a really good platform to start conversations with kids as well about racism and acceptance, especially in this changing world that we live in with lots of immigration going on and all the issues that come with that. And the world's not going to go back to the way it was, and we need to learn to embrace it and accept it and enjoy it for what it is.
Because it's set in 1962, but as you say, some of those issues are still relevant today.
Absolutely. I mean, it's set in 1962 against the backdrop of John Waters' own childhood. He wrote the original screenplay. And it was written against the backdrop of the Baltimore riots back then in 1962. And it was only 2 years ago, I think, in 2013 or 14, that the black community was still fighting for the rights in Baltimore, and there were more riots. So it's still very, very current. And all the other issues, the pressures on women, that's obviously still there, to conform and look a certain way. And often it's a look that most women, most real women, just can't achieve that look. And Hairspray just sort of tells them to celebrate who they are and accept who they are and love who they are.
Would you have liked to have been around in the 60s, Claire?
I would, especially in Liverpool. I mean, my mum grew up hanging out with the Beatles and, you know, Jerry and the Pacemakers and all that. And I grew up listening to these wonderful stories of mum sneaking out of school doing the beehive, going in the cavern of a lunchtime, and it just sounded fantastic. The city was really, it was the place to be. And Mum always used to say to me, if you were a singer in the 60s and you were half decent, she had, you know, you'd more than likely become a pop star because they were just coming to Liverpool looking for talent. And I always had this fantasy of being around in the 60s.
I was around in the 60s. I was born in 1968, and I've got a tattoo on my left arm to prove it that says 60s kid.
I wondered where we were going with that tattoo there for a minute.
Yeah, I can't lie about my age anymore. It was quite cool in the 80s, but now I'm 48. It's a bit of a badge that I don't want.
And it is a famously upbeat show, and all the reviews have said that have emphasised how just full of energy it is. How hard is it for you as performers every night to go out there, sometimes twice a day, and really give it that welly?
Well, no, it's hard. I mean, because as well as performing the show every night, you're touring from city to city, so physically you're exhausted. But Claire said the other day to somebody that the minute you walk on that stage, like the feeling you get back from the audience, it's immediately infectious and it's just a tonic.
It's a shot in the arm, it really is. No matter how you're feeling, we often sit there, we can be miserable old buggers sometimes, and we sit there having a cup of tea. Don't feel like this. And then at the end of the show, we're like smiling, doing the dance routines, looking at each other, high-fiving, you know. It's a real high.
Dr. Footlights, as they say, he kicks in.
And I can never wind down. We're both the same, because I'll see he's on Facebook. I can never wind down till about 1 o'clock in the morning after the show. I get really...
You find that a lot, actually, a lot of Facebook activity up until 2 a.m. from cast members, and it's because they can't wind down. You can't finish a show like Hairspray and then go to bed at 11:30. It just doesn't happen.
No.
So you see all this cast Facebook activity going on to like 3 a.m.
And how is it going from city to city? Because, you know, one day you're here, one day you're in Bristol, the next in Inverness. How do you adjust to the stage and just to the different environment?
It's tricky. I mean, some stages are bigger than others, so we have to adapt the show sometimes to fit whatever size proscenium stage we've got. And this theatre in Cambridge, the Corn Exchange, was quite a challenge because, A, it's not a real theatre. It wasn't built as a theatre, so there's very little wing space. So there's no fly, so a lot of our show scenery is flown, usually above us. And we had to cut all that here. Stuff that is normally trucked on sort of mechanical trucks, that's had to be cut. So we've had to adapt quite a lot to bring the show to Cambridge. But it's not the only theatre, there's a few, isn't it?
Quite
small,
a few,
Brighton.
Yeah. But then, you know, some people who've seen the show on numerous occasions go, they like it stripped back because you just totally focus on the talent and the show and the story.
But how is it personally for you as well, travelling from here, there and everywhere?
I'm lucky because I've got my baby, who's 16 months, but I've got Tony, we've got our friend Adam, I've got my nanny, and we travel as a team. You know, the guys are really great with helping me with the pram, with the cot, with all the little bits and pieces, you know, on a 5-hour journey when you've got a 16-month-old on a train, often I'll, Tony, help me out, and Tony will take him and start singing Toom Ging Gang Gilly Gilly and all that, and it's kind of like,
it's fun. I mean, sometimes it's a bit like being on holiday. Sometimes you just want a day off to do nothing, but we don't get to do that. I mean, on our one day off, I say in inverted commas, we travel from city to city. But you just make that part of it. It's part of theatre life.
Yeah,
we've had some really good times, yeah.
And what does your son think of all this travelling around?
He's really sociable, and he's obviously used to staying in different places. I always feel a bit of a bad mum because on the first day in a new apartment, he's always a bit unsettled, and then he starts to get used to it after day 2, day 3. But I always feel a bit bad, really.
He's a
happy kid.
He's getting a grand experience that a lot of 2-year-olds wouldn't get ordinarily.
You know, when we do vocal warm-up or physical, I bring him on stage with me, and he's got everyone singing and dancing in front of him. So he's surrounded by joy and music.
Yeah, and he loves it. His eyes are lit up and watching these 30 kids, and they all sing to him. Do you know what I mean?
So it can't be bad, can it?
He's a lucky little boy in many ways.
And he must know the score very well now. He'll certainly be knowing it when he's
grown up. He loves Welcome to the 60s.
He
dances to it. He loves it, yeah.
And were you fans of the stage show and the film before?
Well, do you know, the film, I was a fan of the 1988 version, which was the very original version that John Waters wrote, which was nothing more than a B movie back in 1988. And I loved that version. It's so raw and a lot of people don't like it because it's not glitzy, it's not had the Hollywood polish on it. And I much prefer that to the Hollywood musical that they made in 2006, I think it was. The show I saw once back in about 2002, I think, the original Broadway production, and I didn't remember much about it apart from the fact that I had a really, really good time watching it. So I was kind of familiar with it, but yeah, no, I love it. It's a fantastic show. It's so beautifully written and the score's so uplifting.
It's quite a different kind of musical, really, isn't it? It's not a traditional musical in the sense, because it tackles those bigger issues and just because some of the characters are quite challenging and in your face.
What surprised me when you asked about the show, I went to see it in London, the Michael Ball production, and the image and the vision I had was colour, cartoon, froth. My favourite number was the number that Tony and Peter do. And I didn't really remember the hard message of the racism and the weight and... Well, the weight, obviously, with Tracy, but I didn't remember that hard-punching message. Yet when we came into rehearsals, our director and our choreographer have really brought that message out. And whether it's down to the direction or what it is, it seems to be
they've really punched it, haven't they?
Yeah, in our show.
And it was your first night last night here.
First night in Cambridge, yeah.
Yes, yeah, first night in Cambridge. How did it go?
Oh, brilliant, yeah. They loved it. I mean, we were expecting them to be totally quiet. We thought Cambridge might be a bit posh.
Well, they are, because I've worked here several times, and when I've done plays and comedies, the things that Cambridge audiences laugh at are not what a Bradford audience would laugh at. It's a different humour. It's more reserved. It's more, I shouldn't say more intelligent, it's just a different type of audience. So I said to the guys, be prepared for a more reserved audience. And they were, until the end. Then one got up and it was like a Mexican wave next one. Everyone flew out the seats and was dancing.
Yeah, it's almost like they were waiting for permission to jump out of their seats, and they did, and they bopped away right at the end.
Yeah.
And lots of little old ladies standing there waving their walking sticks.
Yeah.
It was great. We suggested that they were just enjoying the show, quietly enjoying it, listening to the show, and showed us their appreciation at the end, which was absolutely lovely.
Lee Chambers speaking to the stars of Hairspray, Claire Sweeney and Tony Maudsley. The production is playing at the Corn Exchange until the 20th of February.